The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The crowd asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person that has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "What is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone. And be satisfied with your own wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and they were all asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, and I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. And he will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clean his thrashing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff will be burned in unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people, the gospel of the Lord.
This evening, the members of our RCIA class are gathered with us, their sponsors as well, and the instructors of that class. We're going to do something this evening called the Rite of Acceptance and Welcoming. This is the first of the public rites celebrated in the RCIA, which means Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults, and is for those who have been attending inquiry classes here at St. Joseph's. At the conclusion of this rite, they will no longer be known as inquirers. Those who have never been baptized will be known as catechumens, and those who have been previously baptized in another Christian denomination will be known as candidates. They will be asked to state their willingness to grow in their relationship with Christ, gather with us in prayer, and join us in the love and service of others. They will also continue to discern if God is calling them to become full members of the Catholic Church at Easter. And so we keep you all in our prayers, and I think it was a good idea to have a little explanation of what you'll see happen after the homily. Sometimes these things happen and you're like, "What is that? What's going on?" Sometimes that happens with the rituals of the church. We do things and everyone's kind of sort of like, that's not always happening. Why is that happening now? Rejoice in the Lord always. We were not created for suffering, although suffering is a part of our earthly life. We were created for greatness. We were created to rejoice in the Lord. There is an interior desire placed upon us by God that we can't ignore. With the depths of each of us here, with the soul of all members, the members of the body of Christ, we want to rejoice, give thanks, and proclaim the goodness of God. St. Paul, in this second reading to the Philippians, he speaks of this interior longing of each heart. In the season of Advent, the church's prayers and readings, they demand us to look at our interior lives. Go deep, go inside, go and look and see how God is calling you out in love, in peace. Break away from the world. Let go of the day-to-day things that keep you away from God. Set down the burdens of life. Set down your ego. Set down your doubts and disbelief. Set down self and embrace a more perfect, holy, and eternal way. St. Paul starts with a very important truth. The Lord is near. Live with this in mind. The Lord is near. He's never some distant, far off place. He doesn't just create us and then walk away. He's always close in love. Live with this. The Lord desires to be near us in our hearts, minds, and souls. He wants to be close to us in everything. And it's a matter of us paying attention to that. We have to pay attention. But we can get so distracted. We can get so confused. Even if the Lord is so close, the littlest noise drowns him out. And so here St. Paul adds, by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. These are three very important, very good, very simple ways to be paying attention to the nearness of God. So first, a life of daily, meditative, sustaining prayer. Do you pray with Scripture every single day? You should. If that's the Word of God, why would you miss it? Some of us never miss a show. Some of us never miss a football game. Some of us never miss many things. And if we did, we would feel like put out. Ah, I didn't get to see the last episode of Hawkeye. That's a new Marvel show. If you didn't know. But if we miss a day of prayer and Scripture and being with the Lord, we don't think twice. I'll get it tomorrow. It's no big deal. God will forgive me. We need to think different about prayer. How do I pray? It's a good question. Use the Bible for prayer every day. Read, listen to, and pray with the Word of God. In the history of Christianity, the Scriptures have always been a sure way to encounter Jesus and to grow in holiness. We have to read the Bible. We have to know the Lord in Scripture. Then he says, petition. Petition, praying for others, praying for the world, praying for an end to sin, praying for those who are suffering, who are close to death, who are sick, all, for whatever comes to mind, we pray for that. We pray for vocations to the priesthood. We pray especially for ourselves that we can become saints. Pray that more people will seek to be saints in the church. And then thanksgiving. Such an underused form of prayer. Giving thanks to God every day, thanks to the Lord always. Rejoice in the good things that God has done. Also, coming to Mass, this is an act of thanksgiving. The Eucharist, which is our great thanksgiving prayer. Encounter Jesus as often as possible in the Eucharist. Sunday Mass, daily Mass, Eucharistic adoration. It's all there. It's all there. The Lord wants us to be near. Why is it so hard to do? Why is it so hard to stay close to the Lord? Mary wants it to be easy for us as well. And throughout history, she's come to us in many ways, not just our regular prayer, but she's come to us in apparition. Our Lady of Guadalupe, this image here, is one of those. Tomorrow, actually, December 12th, is traditionally the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. This story is so normal and at the same time extraordinary. How many times has Mary, the Blessed Mother, appeared to the most ordinary of people, like Saint Juan Diego? Saint Juan Diego was an ordinary guy, just living his life, trying to live his faith, trying to stay close to Jesus, making a living, walked everywhere. If we understood how much Saint Juan Diego walked, we'd be like, I'm lazy. And he loved the Lord so much. But that person, in this case, Juan Diego, becomes Saint Juan Diego. He becomes an extraordinary messenger of hope. Saint Juan Diego was the one who saw this image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And Mary said to him, go to the bishop, the local bishop, and I want you to build a church. Ask him to build a church. Do you know the story? If you don't, I'll give you a quick synopsis. So he goes to the bishop, and the bishop's like, okay, fine. If it's really the Blessed Mother, like, give me a sign. So he goes back to the Blessed Mother a few times, and finally, like, the bishop just won't believe him. The bishop needs some sort of vivid sign. And so the last time Saint Juan Diego sees Mary, she says, go and pick these flowers and put them in your tilma. A tilma is not unlike a vestment a priest wear. And he gathered them up in his tilma like this and went to the bishop. Now, these flowers, by the way, they were not indigenous to that area. Never did those kind of flowers ever grow in that part of Mexico. And it was not the right time of year for flowers to bloom. It was a miracle already. And he goes to the bishop, and he unwraps the tilma he's wearing. The flowers fall, and that image is on his tilma. He wasn't there before. It was blank. The Blessed Mother painted this image with God and this miraculous happening. You can see this image. This is obviously a print, but the image is still in Mexico City. And it's as vivid as far as the colors go as it was the first day, which was in the 1500s. Our Blessed Mother entrusts her message to Saint Juan Diego. And after this apparition, after this story, after this miracle happens, in just 10 to 11 years after the apparitions, millions of people in Mexico convert to the Catholic faith. It was the single greatest act of evangelization in the history of the church since the time of the apostles. Why did that happen? Grace, God's will, this apparition, and everything it means for all of us in the church. Mary coming to us and saying, be close to Jesus. Our Lady of Guadalupe is a beautiful reminder of the power of God. God desires us to rejoice in the beauty of our faith. I urge you today, pray with Our Lady of Guadalupe. Pray with our Blessed Mother in this particular apparition. And on a personal note, Just to let you know, every time I've prayed a novena or any prayer petition to Our Lady of Guadalupe, almost always they're answered. I'm not gonna give you a guarantee, but her prayers are powerful. More importantly, what we want to happen is through her prayers and love for us, we will grow in deeper love of Jesus. That's the true and lasting desire of our heart. This is one of the messages of our Blessed Mother to Saint Juan Diego. There was more than one message to Saint Juan Diego. This is one that he wrote down that Mary said to him. She said, "I will give Jesus to the people in all my personal love, in my compassion, in my help, in my protection, because I am truly your merciful mother, yours and all the people who live united in this land, and of all other people of different ancestries, my lovers who love me, those who seek me, those who trust in me. Here, in this place, I will hear their weeping, their complaints, and heal their sorrows, hardships, and sufferings." Today we turn to Mary, our merciful mother. We seek Jesus, our Lord and King. We rejoice in the beauty of our God. Continue to prepare the way for the Lord. Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. Let the peace of God reign in our hearts. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Jesus, our Lord, we rejoice and give thanks to you now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.